Saving money in your next painting project now at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect finish for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. Save big on Dutch Boy paints. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and get your painting project started today. Save big money
at Menards. Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the best morning show in the history of things that aren't morning shows. It's John and Lance. Make me proud, boys. Well, not that kind of proud, boys, but you know what I mean.
All right, 906 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I swear to God, if Diaz is out of the lineup today, I swear to God, do you know what his numbers are in June?
What are they? They're good.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're really good.
Yeah. He's hitting over his OPS. He's gotten it up to 780. Okay.
Huh?
He's 15 for 44 this month.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, how in a team that struggles the way that they do to score runs, as anemic as this offense gets at times, play your best guys. Well, you know what? And I could just hear Dusty. Well, I didn't know. I didn't want him to face Scherzer and lose his confidence. You know, Scherzer's really, really tough for a young guy. So we played Maldonado, and, you know, Maldonado, you know what? It's better that Maldonado strikes out four times.
You want one? You want ones on ones? Best on best?
Swear to God. This is unbelievable how Dusty, his some of the things. Okay, in explaining the Jose Altuve not playing, he said, you know what? I just got to worry about his legs. I got to worry about his back. You know, I know he had four hits, but this is my decision. He took some mighty swings, he said. I'm still being cautious about his legs and his side and everything else. He's feeling okay, but I got to do what I got to do to have him for the long run. It's a tough decision. It's my decision. Yeah, it's a horrible decision after he gets four hits.
Yeah.
And you're trying to salvage one game against the Cincinnati Reds at home, trying to salvage a game against the Cincinnati Reds. Holy crap. Talk about just
20-18 at home. You have, but it has been,
they're bad.
You know, the pitching, Blanco fell apart. You had Belak was a mess the other day. The bullpen has let you down way too often when you're trying to stay in games or even win games. You have had hitting that has been sporadic, which we've seen. Like, this has been a total team issue. Alex Bregman, another throwing error yesterday. It was extremely costly in extra innings. You lost two different extra inning games over the last few days. It's just anything that could go wrong is going wrong right now.
You lost three straight in Toronto. You lost two out of three to Cleveland. You beat Washington two out of three, lost the last game. Lost four straight now with the sweep by the Reds. It's just, Dusty, how about putting a lineup out there that, you know, can win a game for you? You sent Belak down for a guy who's got a 7.96 ERA. Belak, you go, because we need this guy that's in the minors who has an 8 ERA. Got to have him instead of you. What? Blanco's
in Dana, I trust. In Dana, I trust.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope he's really, really good. We'll see. I mean, you know what, with his 7.96 ERA. Urquidy threw off the mound for the first time, which is nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. You know my love for Urquidy.
I know your love for Urquidy.
Yeah. Okay, who do you want out there? Blanco or Urquidy? Okay? No. Let me know, Dusty Zuerlein, who you want out there.
Right now, Blanco.
Well, right now because
Urquidy's
hurt.
I live in the now.
Okay.
You know, I try to live in the now and appreciate all the things I have now, like Renault Blanco, like Chazzy Fizz, like the gate, you know, Chomp Chomp, Corey Jelks with 6 home runs this year. I live in the now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to be, this is, you know what?
I can't do without that 600 OPS.
I had a terrible feeling last night. I was in bed last night, and I'm like, this is going to be a year they don't make the playoffs.
Yeah,
this
is going to be, too.
The Astros are like, this is going to, you know, and all I could think about was 2000 Astros where you had 97 playoffs, 98, you got really close, 99 playoffs, and then out of nowhere, 20. It was just a bad year. Craig Biggio had an ACL tear. Lima was a disaster. You opened up a brand new park, and it was a disastrous year. And then you were back at it in 2001. You know, you were back in business in 2001. It feels like the same situation now. It feels like, man, it's just one of those years. You just have injuries that are popping up. You know, you worry that the pitchers aren't going to be. Now, this team is better than that team. But at the same time, I'm really concerned that Seattle's going to start cranking it up. You got the Angels who, you know, are better this year.
I'm worried about
year.
The Angels.
I'm not really worried about the Angels either.
No.
I don't think you're catching Rangers. I just worry that this is not even going to be a playoff year. I really do because you're not, you know, you're coming off a year. You won a World Series. This kind of happens a little bit. You kind of, it just trails off. But we're not used to seeing these kind of injuries and these pitches. How you can't keep fading, losing this many players every year. Lance McCullers.
Well, although let's face it though, you can't fade it. It was the right decision with Verlander. It was the right decision with Correa. It's been the right decision with Springer.
It is.
It's been they made the right decisions.
It is. But now you're losing guys in season too. Now you're losing those guys. There's no Verlander.
Well, you never had this many injuries.
There's no Verlander, but now there's also no McCullers. There's no Luis Garcia. Like, the fact that the Astros are this deep, there's nobody who could have faded McCullers, Verlander's gone, you know, gone, Urquidy long-term, Garcia out for the year. Who in the world could get through that? Nobody. The Astros had unbelievable wealth of pitchers, which is why you didn't trade off some, you know, it was just why you need to have depth.
No, 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 no.
But they don't have any starting pitching left. France is as good as it gets. That's who's your fourth starter now. France is as good as you can get. So I don't want to see the Astros reach out and make any fever dream moves and try to just stay afloat in a year where it could be hard to make the playoffs. To me, you got to have your top three guys who are all very talented, pitch like top three guys. You wait out Urquidy, you wait out Yordan, and then you see what's going on. If you get a bat, frankly, if you add a bat to this team, John, and I know there's been talk about adding a left-hand bat. If you added a left-hand bat, that means you're really not very.
I got the left-hand bat. You know who it is? Michael Brantley.
Yeah, but there's been talk about Dana Brown has talked about maybe adding a left-hand bat. That makes me think that he's not 100% sold on Brantley being the guy.
Who? John Morosi? Oh, here's John Morosi talking about that very subject.
Corey Dickerson as well. I really think Dickerson is someone that had a very strong season against the Astros. And somewhat ironically, Lauren, I think that Dickerson to Houston is a trade that would make a lot of sense. I'd be curious to hear Robert's thoughts on this because we know with the Astros, the Alvarez injury, Brantley's status, it's a very right-handed dominant lineup at the moment. And I would say that the Astros got a very close firsthand look at Corey Dickerson this week.
So what do you, I guess, what if when Michael Brantley comes, I don't know. I'm not trading away. I'm not giving anything up, if you want to know the truth, for Corey Dickerson or anybody else. I'm just not. I think that Michael Brantley comes back this year. We've heard good stuff about it, that he is going to come back. So I'm going to wait. I'm waiting on it. I don't care. I don't want to get another bat. I don't want to give up anything else. I don't know what you'd have to give up for Dickerson. Right now he's hitting .273. He's got a .743 OPS. What? .743 OPS now all of a sudden in this economy, a .743 OPS is wow. Holy crap, we're gonna get a guy with a .743? How awesome.
This economy, I love it.
Yeah. I mean, honestly.
In the 2017, year where they had their highest OPSs ever for every player.
Corey Dickerson right now is a 2-home-run, 11-RBI guy.
Oh, man.
That we just can't do without. Well, he's only played in 23 games. Good. Okay.
I would watch for Corey Dickerson to be the guy that they take a look at.
What? Corey.
I don't want that. We've already got a Corey.
Yeah. Well, Corey Dickerson was really good here in this series, though. He was really, really good.
That's good, but I don't need another Corey.
Of course, he was facing Astros pitching, so that's hard. You know.
You mean the best?
It wasn't like really.
Some of the best in the league?
Yeah. Lately, it's been great, hasn't it?
On paper.
No, it's sucked lately. That's right. Time for you to talk about tequila. Let's wash our sorrows away.
But this has just been this has really been a downer of a show. Should we do what you learned on last weekend again? Get some joy back in this? Let me tell you about Maestro Nobel. I was sipping on some Maestro Nobel just the other day. As a matter of fact, on Friday, it was great. Now, listen, I do something a lot of tequila lovers don't do, which is I refrigerate my Añejo Extra. And I probably shouldn't, I guess, but I don't know. I like having a cold drink in this heat. I like having, of course, I don't sit outside to sip my tequila, but I like it. And I understand for a lot of people, they like to have a room temperature because more of the flavor of the tequila really is enhanced. You can taste them all. And I certainly get that, but I think no matter how you like doing it, just do it the way you like, whether it's sipping your tequila, whether it's an Añejo Extra, the Cristalino, which is three different tequilas, charcoal filtered and aged. Maybe it's just a silver and you just want to make some margaritas, some great margaritas, and maybe elevate it with the smoke silver that they have called Humito. What I'm telling you is there's a lot of different tequilas, but it's made by a company from Mexico that is a great tequila maker. I mean, people love Maestro Nobel, and it's starting to get much bigger in the United States as more and more people delve into it. And I promise you, it's a tequila with top shelf quality that you're going to want to have on your shelf, but you can find it at affordable prices. It's going to blow you away. It tastes great and really is made with a great deal of care in Tequila Mexico, and it shows in every single bottle you purchase. Maestro Nobel. Wherever fine liquors are sold, make sure that if they don't have it, you ask for Maestro Nobel.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, the spirit of radio. So get this. During that last break, these guys finally buried the hatchet over that whole Gwyneth Paltrow debacle. With some gentle nudging from Lance, John finally lit her scented candle, and it turns out he likes it. Go figure. It's John Granato and Lance Zierlein mending fences in the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5.
Drunk speeches are in parades are now taking, they're taking the front center.
Yeah.
William Karlsson was Jokic was wasted when he was given his.
Brian Brown? I mean, Michael Malone?
Yeah, Michael Malone was poop-faced. Yep. William Karlsson.
You think Boosie B going to run it back? No way. Get that on out of here, boy.
Well, like, he sounded like he was kind of Cajun.
Yeah.
Is Mike Malone Cajun?
No, I don't think Mike Malone.
What y'all know about all that there? Nut. You heard me?
I was waiting for him to say, you heard me? I was going to say, okay, he's from New Orleans.
Mm. Can we get back to the soccer talk where you mispronounce all the guys' names?
That's the best.
What is it, Balogun? What is it?
What's his name? Balogun. Olabagu, Falaguno.
No, that's not it.
It's something like that.
It's Gio Reyna. Yeah.
Yeah, Gio Reyna.
Take at Gio Reyna. We know how to say that. Dumbass. We can't even play William Karlsson. You don't care what you say anymore. It used to be, we're not going to drop any F-bombs, right, on the people. We're not going to drop, we're just, hey, they had to take the mic away from him. He was so wasted. It was 2 minutes of him just.
Matthew Stafford.
What about when the woman fell off of the stage? He just turned around and walked.
Oops. And his wife's like, we should check on her. She fell off like an 8-foot stage. And then Tom Brady throwing trophies around when he's drunk.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. These guys are getting wasted.
Wasted now.
You know who did it classy? Astros.
The Astros are all classy.
Who was the Astro yelling and acting a fool on a microphone? Nobody. Houston is pure class when we win championships.
That's right. Few and far between, but we win them.
Well, really?
Yeah.
Two Rockets, three or four Comets, two Astros.
Four Comets.
Yeah.
Not three or four.
So there's four. Eight. There's eight championships right there.
Yeah. Yeah. It was such a big deal. Like 3 years after their fourth championship in a row, the team folded. It was such a big deal. Yeah, congratulations to us.
That wasn't their fault.
Yeah. No. Nice job. Nice job, Houston. Way to go. Nice job, Comets. I mean, we won four straight to start the league, and we don't have a team. How does that work out? 713-780-3776. If you got anything from this weekend that you want to get to, you're more than welcome to do that. I got a question for you. This is an interesting question. Is it time to move the Cowboys out of the NFC East?
I know it geographically doesn't make sense.
That your commissioner wants to put four teams in Europe? If you put four teams in Europe, you've got 36 teams. You got to find a way to...
Four more teams. Oh, I was just going to move the...
Jacksonville, obviously.
Yeah, Jacksonville, you got to go.
No, they're gone. See, you beat it.
Jacksonville's gone. And you know what else? Let's just move teams that we want to move.
Okay, so you'd have those four. If you've had 36 teams... You could have, and this is the prospects of it. And see what you think about this. You'd have a Pacific, a Central, and an Atlantic. Okay, to the four teams in Europe, you'd have the Giants, the Jets, the Bills, the Dolphins, the Bucks, the Jags, and the Panthers. Those are the
four total, like an NBA. Well, four total divisions.
You would have three divisions, of 12 teams each. Three divisions of 12 teams each. But then you would have
pods within the division.
Then you would have pods within the division.
Roger didn't say this.
Roger
never said he was doing this. This is somebody on Twitter doing this.
See if you agree. The Central would be the Steelers, the Eagles, the Ravens, Commanders, Falcons, Bengals, Browns, Titans, Colts, Lions, Packers, and Bears.
See if I agree with geography. Yes,
that's right.
Yes, that's
no,
all
but that would make some sense. And the Pacific would be Vikings, Chiefs, Saints, Texans, Cowboys, Broncos, Cardinals, Chargers, Rams, Raiders, 49ers, and Seahawks.
This is real simple. Develop four professional teams over there that play each other, and then we do relegation.
So we start relegation. Each of them would have there would be three pods in each division. Cardinals, Cowboys, Texans, and Raiders. How would you feel about that?
I like that.
I wouldn't mind that at all. We care about the Titans or the Colts?
No. But honestly, think about this, though. If you added four European teams, you could literally, in a perfect world, go to 28 teams in a given year. So that means four out, so that...
Relegation?
Yeah. Now we're talking relegation.
Where would they go, though?
Well, we'd have eight pro teams.
What would you be relegated to?
We have eight pro teams. You just play the teams inside, the teams who are in relegation. Starts off with Europe, the European teams. Now, if you had four teams, how could you possibly do that? It would have to be over time. You already have your
that's your
draft.
Boy. That's your guy.
No,
your
he
hero.
Didn't say, I think, long term. You're acting like it's going to happen tomorrow. No. And you say Europe, but Mexico City's not in that mix at all?
No. Germany. Yeah, Mexico City.
Obviously, London, Germany are the two. You'd probably want to give London two teams, maybe?
No, London, yeah.
London, Germany, Spain? I don't think it would work in Spain.
I don't think it would work in Spain.
Austria, it's huge in Austria. So I found out that they have like eight teams in Denmark. Professional football teams that they had. Like, it's getting huge in Denmark.
Well, there you
go. But, Germany and England and Mexico,
what
I would think,
Paris?
Are the three countries. Paris. They're not going to support you. I don't even think Paris had a team whenever we had World League.
No, probably not.
There was not even a Paris team.
There was one
in
Germany.
There was Barcelona Dragons, Rhein Fire.
Yeah.
There was Frankfurt Galaxy. So you had more than
you had
one.
Two invert.
Yeah. You had London Monarchs.
Frankfurt's a big city. Frankfurt, you could
London
do.
Monarchs.
Yep.
So you could do, yeah, Barcelona. You might do Spain, maybe. But Germany and England, I think the most you can add is two teams, a German team and an England team. But even then, man.
I think you just move the Jags there and just whatever. Just move the Jags there. And it, but then you're going to have to, you're absolutely going to have to rearrange once again. You can't put the Jaguars in London and have the Texans and the Titans and the Colts playing them.
Well, you might be able to rearrange. I just think when you start adding additional teams, you cause some headaches, but you also bring a bunch of, I mean, we already know.
No, the money, yeah.
Most of the deals are about bringing money in.
I wouldn't mind at all being with the Cardinals, the Cowboys, the Texans, and the Raiders. Vegas every year. Arizona, Tempe.
But who is it? This is just somebody in new
and
media.
Dallas?
Somebody just wrote an article about
this,
right?
No. Well, there's going to probably have
who
to
said
be.
This?
There's probably going if well, if Raj gets his way, which he always does.
In your lifetime, you're not going to see four teams in Europe. It's going to take a lot longer than
probably
that.
Not.
A lot longer because the logistics of it all, of having enough talent to have that many teams, is going to take some time. Look at offensive line play as it is. It's hard enough with 32 teams, trying to figure that out with 32 teams, get good enough offensive line play. You throw four more teams in, you don't have, and you dilute the talent pool even more. You functional offensive lines are not going to be a thing.
We have USFL, XFL.
Yeah, those are guys who can't play in the NFL.
Everywhere.
Those are guys who can't play in the NFL.
Everywhere. We got guys coming out every year, great linemen.
No.
We ain't worried about this.
You should. Your quarterbacks who are making... who would be making $60 million a year by that time, $70 million a year, are going to be protected by guys making $167 a game.
That's all right. We don't care.
Fred Perkerson, starting at guard. Mitchell Mangenstern, starting at tackle. Dorf Orff from Berlin, Germany. Dorf Orff can't block anybody.
What are you talking about?
When you have your four European teams.
I want him. I want Dorf Orff. Blocking Jeffrey Simmons.
Okay. No, you don't.
Yeah.
Trust me, Dorf Orff does not have the technique or the agility to handle a Jeffrey Simmons.
Look at
Simmons.
These divisions, though. Pretty good. Jets, Giants, Patriots, and Bills. That's a pretty – that I it's better than what we got now. Ravens, Eagles, Steelers, Commanders.
What's so great
that's
about
a
that?
Nice, that's nice.
That's nothing.
Falcons, Jaguars, Dolphins, and Buccaneers. That actually makes a lot more sense. Be all these teams in Florida all being together. This whole thing just makes sense. You know who the Great Lakes division is? Bears, Lions, Packers, Vikings. It's the only one that doesn't change. That's actually geographically correct.
It's geographically really, really good.
Yeah.
Well, this just in, they're also all older teams except Vikings. They're all older teams, and everything was centrally located and compact. You could make some minor changes. I mean, truth be told, well, you don't have to have Dallas and Houston, and it can be, you know.
Dallas and Houston should be together. We should.
They probably, geographically, they should.
Two games a year, that'd be awesome.
And put a team in New Mexico in Las Cruces.
Or put a team in Mexico City and have them in there.
Put a team in, I just feel like players would want to play in Mexico City. I think they're just too much like. Hey, can I ask you a question? I was watching something that involved the cartel and all the. You know, a lot of people are coming over from Mexico from the cartel.
I think cartel is bad. Okay.
No, cartel is bad. But a lot of, you know, a lot of the immigration stuff stems from the cartel being so terrible, right? And people in Mexico fearing for their lives and being intimidated and killed.
Yeah, trying to get out of there.
Why don't they just try to go after the cartel?
I think we do.
Do we?
Yeah,
as a country?
I don't know if you heard about it, the war on drugs. It's something new.
No, I know about that. But does the United States just use their firepower to like, hey, let's just go bomb the cartel? Now, this is just me just kind of spitballing this.
Right. Well, no,
but
I think there are laws. I'm pretty sure you can't just let's just bomb the cartel. What?
Well, I mean, if you knocked out the cartel, wouldn't that help?
You know how long they tried to find...
But
Pablo?
Didn't they win? But eventually Colombia won.
Do you know how many billions of dollars he had that he gave to the people to hide him and all that stuff?
Yeah, and the U.S. was involved in that.
Yeah.
Are we involved in trying to fight the cartel?
I'm not, you know, Just you want to just bomb them? Is that what you want?
No, I'm just saying we're pretty good when we have a static, you know, when we know
we can't find our own criminals. You want us to find theirs too?
I feel like they're pretty out there in the open.
Well,
the
cartel's bossing everyone around, and we have like the worst crime ever. The U.S. shut that,
but the U.S. blasted the mafia, right? The mafia is nowhere near what they used to be.
Well, no.
Organized crime in the mafia is not what it used to be.
Well, no, I think in large part for other reasons, but yeah.
Well, they talked. They did.
Yeah,
they talked, but the U.S. also had RICO statute, and RICO has been huge.
Yeah, they don't have that.
I just feel like I'm an idea guy, and I'm just thinking, wait a minute.
Let's just bomb the cartels.
Well, a lot of these problems stop if the cartel's done. What are we doing here? Why are we trying to figure these things out about a lot of immigration issues?
You want us
in.
To fill? We can't fix our own crime in this country.
If you want to get a
and
team
you
in Mexico,
fix the crime
I know Mexico City is not where the cartel is, you know, strong. But if you want a team, if you want players to go play in Mexico, they're probably going to be like, "Hey, I don't know where all the cartels are, but I don't want to go play in Mexico." Free agency. Now, I think free agency
maybe a good idea to stop crime, but okay. Maybe we should start.
I think we need to.
Maybe we should start doing that here.
I just think we need to.
You ever watch the news?
Cartel. Okay. Yeah. I'd like for us to maybe do better at crime here.
What
too.
I'd like you to do better at is keeping your patio furniture. And the way you do that is with my peeps. Listen, Houston
think
powder
about what I said, John.
Houston Powder Coaters is unbelievable. When you go to the Kima Boardwalk or Discovery Green, Herman Park. When you see the Ferris wheel downtown, when you see, I mean, I don't care what it is. And oh, by the way, they will come to your business. You think they brought the Ferris wheel over to Houston Powder Coaters? No. Houston Powder Coaters went to the Ferris wheel. And they've got a laser that they can work at businesses outside of Houston Powder Coaters. They've got, listen, the way that they do it, their setup is unbelievable at Houston Powder Coaters. The ovens and the prep and the priming and all of this stuff. I mean, they are so it is unbelievable how good they are at what they do. And they'll service every area, Galveston, Willis, Fulshear, Baytown, Crosby, Mount Bellevue. It doesn't matter. If you can hear us, they will service you. And they will pick up and deliver absolutely free whatever it is that you need fixing. You need patio furniture, car parts, wheels, kits, whatever it is that you need fixing, they do it at Houston Powder Coaters. HoustonPowderCoaters.com. They're the biggest and the best. It's not even arguable. 281-676-3888. You want to save that patio furniture or whatever metal, HoustonPowderCoaters.com.
ESPN 97.5.com. We keep getting away with it.
He can't keep getting away with it.
Let's get back to John and Lance on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. More importantly, let's get back to the guy who does all the actual heavy lifting on this show, RJ. Hang in there, brother. Everybody listening knows who's the real hero here. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's RJ and these two guys.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. NBA Draft Thursday. What do the Rockets do?
Yeah, it's coming up quick. What do the
Not
Rockets
really.
Do?
It's been forever.
Yeah, you're right.
This is quick. This is all of a sudden upon you?
Cam Whip.
I don't think they...
Or trade back.
I don't think they make the pick.
You think the pick gets dealt?
I think the pick is dealt.
I wouldn't mind seeing it.
I think they're going to be aggressive getting some veterans in here.
Yep. A pick and a player... For a veteran would be fine with me. Fourth pick should have some value. It should have some value.
Not nearly as much as it should.
No, but it should have some value though. For a lot of teams, there's going to be teams who say, "Yeah, we want a young guy and who can really defend or something." Maybe you get one of the Thompsons.
That's the problem. Is after three now, three has value. Two has value.
Well, four could have value. It just depends on how teams evaluate.
Yeah.
You got to find a team that has that evaluated properly. And if you have a team that evaluates the fourth pick as one of their top three, maybe they say, we don't need this position, but we do need this position. That's what you hope for. I would love to see it get traded. A player and a pick traded for a veteran top seven player, a guy who can fit into your rotation in the top seven. I don't think that if not, then you're making the fourth pick and you're figuring things out.
There will be a guy that's chosen 11th through 23 that is going to be a really, really, really good player. There's a guy that we're overlooking because every draft we overlook somebody. You can go through all these drafts and go, holy crap, that guy was really good, and we didn't expect it. This draft is thought to be three deep,
mm-hmm.
which is so wild that there's three guys.
Yeah, but they kind of said that last year.
And then, yeah.
Way more. I mean, Jaden Ivey, people really loved him, but you had Walker Kessler. You had some really good players in last year's draft. It's always deeper than three. But it doesn't really matter if the perception is that no one's worth that pick. You know, the perception is what makes the value of a traded pick is always based upon the perception of the talent in that draft.
Right.
So that's going to be the real question: is how do teams value this year's draft?
I'm worried if they go with one of the Thompson twins that I'm on. You know, Anthony Black has a chance to be a really good player. Is he going to be a good player?
I think it'll be solid.
That's interesting to me.
I think it'll be solid. I think he might be
better built for the NBA than
Jairus Walker's extremely well built for the NBA. And there were times when he took over last year where I was like, man, that guy's got... I think Jairus Walker has a ton of untapped offensive potential. And I think he played within the scheme of what Kelvin Sampson asked him to do. I didn't think he had a lot of alpha takeover in him, though, honestly, at times. And maybe it's because he's a freshman. And so, you know, you can't expect an 18, 19-year-old to be exactly who he's going to be. But I think Walker has all the physical components and skill components to be – he's a shot blocker. He can do – like, I'll tell you this much. I think Jairus Walker has the ability to be as good as Jabari Smith. But Jabari Smith led a team in the SEC and was an elevated player. Jairus Walker had flashes and moments and has five-star capability and body type, but there were times that Jairus Walker – I just want to see Jairus Walker, what he does outside of Kelvin Sampson's offense. Not really a shot at Kelvin Sampson so much as the whole Dean Smith argument with Michael. Michael Jordan was never the focal point of the offense. You stayed inside the offense. And with Kelvin Sampson, that's the same thing.
Well, and he shouldn't have been either, not with Sasser.
But I think he's got to get a little tougher. Jairus Walker, he's a physical specimen. I'd like to see him bang more and impose his body type on people.
Yeah. So who was it? Giovanni? What's his name? Jonathan Giovanni was looking at Bilal Coulibaly from France this morning on ESPN. That dude can play too. He's 6'6", 230. And that's a guy that is thought to be around pick 15 or so. That guy's got a real shot at being an NBA star. He's got a shot. And that's the kind of guy maybe that they should... I don't know. They just don't need two more rookies on this team. They got to get some... They got to get older. And I think they know that, obviously. I mean, being this young for this long, it just is... You ain't winning nothing. It's time to start competing for the playoffs, and if you got to use some of your assets to do it, then that's what you got to do. But taking two guys here and not doing anything, then they lose $47 million. They got to go out and spend this money. Which is really attractive. And you know what? These picks might be attractive, although they're not nearly as attractive as they should be. And that's going to be the problem. What's the value of the fourth pick right now?
Yeah, I have no idea.
No.
I think it'll depend on what it's packaged with. It'll have a big impact on it.
Yeah, but
fourth by itself,
usually
I don't know.
You give up a fourth pick in a draft and it's like, oh, nice. Yeah, well, you're going to get something back for it. I don't know what this brings.
Well, it's going to bring a player who plays in the NBA. At what level? Starting level? How good a starting level player? The fourth pick of the draft.
Bring you a starter
the
back.
The fourth pick of the draft is going to be a starter in the NBA.
Yeah.
Almost every year it is.
Yeah.
It's going to be a starter. What level starter? Well, for the Houston Rockets, you could use a starter. The problem is you have a bunch of starters. But the decision at some point is going to have to be. This is what I feel like with Rocket fans. Everyone is like, I don't want to lose. I love what Kevin Porter can do, KPJ does at this point. Jalen Green is a future star. Look at these numbers. He's a future star. Shingun is like rare talent. He's baby Joker. Kevin Martin Jr. has unbelievable talent that's getting ready to be unleashed.
Jabari.
It's like Jabari Smith is going to gain 20 pounds, and, you know, and I've said this, he's going to gain 20 pounds, and he's going to be so much better. And at some point, you have to figure, okay, if you want to go in a different direction. I keep hearing about how everyone's sleeping on the Rockets, and the Rockets are the sleeping giant, right? People, that's the narrative with a lot of Rocket fans, sleeping giant, and you compare this player to this player, and this player to this player, and this player to this player. But it's not showing up on the court. It's a young team. I get that. But at some point, somebody has to grab a hold of the reins and change the direction of the team if the players don't. And that's going to take – you have to just give in to the fact that change is needed. And even though you have this love for KPJ or Jalen Green or Shingun or Kevin Martin Jr. or Jabari or whoever the player is, at some point, results are going to matter, and at some point, they either start heading very quickly in the right direction or changes have to be made. And even though you may love this player's potential, it needs to maybe be less about a bunch of guys with potential and some guys who are already there, because you have too many guys with potential you're waiting on. I don't think a team with a bunch of potential guys is a great thing. I think you need to have guys who are already where they need to be.
Yeah, no, you got to get older.
Your entire lineup is a potential lineup, which in theory is exciting.
Except we've seen it, and it's not good.
Yeah, in theory it's exciting, though, when you see the flashes. But you're right. The win-loss total has been bad.
No,
and they show up against good teams, don't show up against bad teams. But does Udoka change that? Well, for me, I wouldn't be sad to see Udoka get a chance with this young team. And somebody's coming in that's going to be a future starter. I mean, if they bring in Van Vliet, then what happens with KPJ?
Well, he's out, obviously.
Well, they trade him?
Well, no, I mean, maybe depth, whatever. But KPJ ain't going to start over Fred Van Vliet. He just ain't.
I just want to make sure no one gets anything thrown at him in the locker. Nobody gets something thrown at them in the locker room. Is KPJ going to be okay coming off the bench?
He had one issue since he's been here.
I know. Well,
other than the strip club.
The Miami thing during COVID and, yeah.
Other than that, two instances. That's it.
A little bit of a hot head on the court from time to time, too. He can lose his – yeah, but he hasn't been a big problem.
No.
But he's also been the guy. Like, he has – what are you? You have Steven Silas. Yeah, he's also been with Steven Silas, the dad who lets you get away with everything. Right? Steven Silas is the dad doesn't check you. The new stepdad, Jeff, is coming in, and Jeff's got a little heavier hand. That Jeff, in this case, is being played. The role is being played by Ime Udoka. So he's the stepdad that's like, I'm not playing. I don't care what your dad did. I'm from the military. Like, this is the dad who used to be in the military, was in the Army, and was a staff sergeant at some point. And he likes things done a certain way. He likes discipline.
Yeah.
He likes you to play defense. And we'll see how his stepsons do. Are they going to get in line and do what he wants? Is Kevin Porter Jr. going to do what he asked him to do? Or is this going to be a situation where they have some beef? Because if Van Vliet comes in, that guy's starting. Sorry. Are you going to be okay being sixth man? I actually think he could be electric as a sixth man. I think KPJ as a sixth man could end up being a really exciting sixth man option. Same thing with KJ Martin coming off the bench as your seventh player or your sixth player. I think that could be really great. But to do that, you probably need to find a rim-running center with rim protection and a legit point guard. Those are things you're going to have to do. Or you say Shingun is going to be our center. We're going to give up some defense. Jabari is going to keep growing and growing into a four because we think he can defend in the low post. We have a stretch four. And now you are looking for a more dynamic three, which is also the potential. And that's why Dylan Brooks gets mentioned too. So my guess is, they'll look for a 3 and a 1, is my guess. And Jabari is their 4 of the future. And Shingun, they stick with at 5. But I could see them going Shingun at 4, a rim runner at 5, a big 3, you know, the Robert Horry type 3 in Jabari. The more I watch Jabari, the more I think about this, this is so reminiscent of Robert Horry and how he came in as a 3 and eventually became a stretch 4. And I just see so many similarities between Jabari and Robert Horry. Can defend, can block shots, as long, can shoot the corner three. A lot of similarities. Oh, yeah. Do you want to do News of the Weird this year?
No, I want to do a commercial right now. I want you to talk right now about John Daspit. That's what I want.
Oh, good. John Daspit. We're getting ready to... I'm going to be on the phone with Dusty here in a second. We're going to help get some stuff together. I'm going to give him some ideas on John Daspit's NIL stuff as he continues to expand in that front. But that's he's expanding with NIL because he's expanding his business. He's going to be have offices in Atlanta, in Arkansas. He's got, you know, Colorado coming soon and New Mexico. And the reason is John Daspit's really successful, and he wants to continue to grow his business and help other people. John Daspit is great at making sure that he looks out for the little guy. He is the one who is going to fight for you. He is going to fight for you to get the, you know, the settlements that you deserve when you've been injured due to someone else's negligence. You're just sitting there minding your own business, whether it's at work, offshore, in the work, you know, maybe it's on the roadways and you're injured. Well, what does that entail? Hospital bills, time away from work, physical therapy, long-term pain and suffering because you've got an injury that is not going to be ever the same again. These are all things that need to be considered. And John Daspit is the one who says, make sure you give us a call before you sign any paperwork or take any checks. We want to make sure and take a look and make sure you're getting a fair compensation. It's John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Call them today at 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW or DaspitLaw.com.
You've been enjoying ESPN 97.5. Time for you to tell a friend about this brilliance.
He tells two friends, and they tell two friends, and they tell their friends, and so on, and so on, and so on.
Time now for News of the Weird with John and Lance.
Weird. Weird. John and Lance Weird.
News of the Weird.
News.
Weird. All right, Lance, did you know that there's a place called Hell, Poland?
No.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
It's actually pretty popular with the with tourists there. H-E-L, Hell, Poland. And the bus that rides you to Hell, Poland?
Mm-hmm.
Bus 666. Do you want to get on bus 666 to Poland, to Hell, Poland?
No.
Actually, you can't anymore.
Why?
It was so many complaints about it that they changed to 669. So, do you feel like you missed out by not taking bus 666 to Hell?
No, I don't.
Mm?
That sounds exactly like a Robert Rodriguez movie or something.
No,
or maybe something on Black Mirror.
The CDC has become prevalent ever since COVID, right? The CDC.
Yeah.
The CDC says...
Well, it's been prevalent long before that.
Yeah, yes. but...
We've heard a lot more about it.
Yeah, but we've heard a lot more about
yeah.
it. And they've actually become... The CDC says everybody in the United States is getting depressed. Do you believe that everyone in the United States is getting depressed?
No, because I sit next to you, who you've just done just fine.
Yeah, I don't...
For quite a while. I don't know that they've met you.
Yeah. I don't see that you can't say. I don't think you should say everybody anyway.
Yeah, that's a little strong. Instance. Yeah, that's a little strong. That's,
you know,
generalizing.
Yeah.
We call that generalizing.
So apparently, you know, CDC, I don't need your help anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you heard. I'm fine. Okay. A new study says astronauts' brains need years to recover from space travel. Do you want to go? Do you want to travel in space now? If your brain needs years to recover,
well, just what happens to my brain?
Well, apparently, they discovered a marked expansion of the brains of ventricles in those who undertook missions lasting at least 6 months.
What is that? Is that good?
No, you don't want your brain expanding.
Well, what happens with my ventricles?
It can't fit in your head.
Does it make? Oh, it makes your head explode? Or
well,
big,
it makes
like
your
scanners?
Brain press against your bones.
Are you sure it's what it does?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you sure it's not?
Ventricles
maybe?
Are fluid-filled cavities with the brain.
Nah, I don't want to get... No. My head feels bigger anyway, so...
I know. You and Mike.
No.
Brother.
My brother has a much bigger head.
One in four seniors believe their life advice would make them social media stars. Do you feel like if you could give advice on social media that you would be a social media star?
I think if you, my Uncle Lloyd, who is a senior, who is, I'll get some text messages from him and stuff like that. I don't feel like he'd be a social media star. Well, you couldn't, social media people won't listen to anyone who's older. Like,
well,
once you hit 36, you're too old. But I don't think they would be. They're only going to be stars if they dance to like NBA Youngboy and stuff like that. I don't think their advice. No one wants to hear their advice.
Mm-hmm.
You have to dance or do a drinking game of some sort or cuss somebody out. You have to do that to be a viral star. I don't think advice, life advice, no. I don't think anyone's going to them for life advice. Even though you probably should, no one's going
to
do it.
These seniors also believe it's never too late in life to find your true love. 26% admitting to a dating app. And two-thirds of
26% are on dating apps?
Yeah.
For what? What are you
to
doing?
Go find some true love. All right? If you're looking for true love over the weekend, Father's Day weekend, I mean, you could find some. Two-thirds of older Americans believe are even open to wearing fashion trends of yesteryear, like bell-bottoms. Would you want to wear bell-bottoms now in 2023? You know what? My wife has some bell-bottoms, and they're totally sweet.
Yeah.
And she's not even a senior. I mean, good on her. I think she's starting a trend. I'm gonna break out my bell bottoms too. Cover up my shoes so Art can't see my shoes. We are done. Paul Gallant is next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, buddy.
What do you have to say to everyone who still considers the Astros cheaters?
Your mama.
ESPN 97.5, because every day is Children's Day.
We are the music makers, and we are the dreamers of dreams.
You're listening to 97.5, 92.5 ESPN. I'm Dancing Dave. Stick a fork in me because we're done. Dancing Diana will be in the back half of this sound set, and she'll be taking it off like a prom dress, but not before 20 minutes of nonstop power hits. ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Oh, that's so good.